He was a rising star in Russian chess, but after the First World War, he fled the country to settle in France. Not long after, he found himself at the very top of the chess world, as the fourth world chess champion. But then, during the occupation of France in 1940, the Nazis made him an offer that, most of the evidence suggests, he accepted. This is the story of Alexander Alekhine. Welcome to Audible Chess, where I tell the story of chess through history, fiction, and the games of the masters. In August 1914, when Germany declared war on Russia, a chess tournament was taking place in Mannheim, Germany. All the Russian players were rounded up and interned, among them the player who was leading the tournament, Alexander Alekhine. He spent the next 2 months in Germany before being released, and upon his return to Russia, he held simultaneous chess exhibitions in order to raise money for the other Russian players who were still interned in Germany. In June 1919, Alekhine was arrested by the Bolsheviks' secret police on suspicion of anti-communist leanings and was briefly imprisoned in Odessa. Not long after, while working for the government in the education department, he requested permission to visit the West. The request was granted. He left Russia and never returned. He settled in France and in 1927 defeated Capablanca to become the fourth world chess champion. During the war, a series of six articles on the history and future of chess appeared in the German press. All of them were intensely anti-Semitic. The purported author was Alekhine. It's unclear to what extent the Germans coerced him, but the articles argued that chess had become cowardly and defensive because of Jewish influence, and that the Aryan race would have to bring about a rejuvenation of the game. Once the war was over, Alekhine disavowed the articles, saying the Nazis had doctored them. But few believed him, and the world chess champion found himself ostracized from the chess community. Then, in 1946, while he was staying at a hotel in Portugal, he received a telegram from the British Chess Federation confirming that he could play in a title match against Mikhail Botvinnik. It was welcome news to Alekhine, but it was not to be. The day after the telegram arrived, he was found dead in his hotel room. The official cause of death was choking on food, but there are, as you might expect, many theories. One is that a French assassin squad murdered him in retaliation for his collaboration during the war. Another is that Moscow was behind his death. I've linked to an article in the show notes if you're interested in reading more about this aspect of the story. Alekhine was really the first world chess champion to make chess his entire life's purpose. He played for at least 8 hours every day, and he carried a chess set with him whenever he left home. His games are full of unexpected tactical combinations. This is a quote about him from a book called Chess Words of Wisdom by Mike Hennebry.
One of the most characteristic features about his style was his ability to find unexpected and dazzling combinations in the most normal-looking positions.
Before we start the game, just a reminder to check out the show notes for the resources there. Quick tip for new listeners, study the game first, and then listen to the audio and see how well you can visualize the moves. If you find the exercise too difficult, try looking at the board every two or so moves, and then as your ability grows, increase that to every three moves, then every four, and so on. The goal is to look at the board less and less over time. Thanks everyone for listening, and I hope the show helps improve your chess.
1. White moves. Pawn to d4. Black moves. Pawn to d5. Two. White moves. Pawn to c4. Black moves. Pawn to e6.
White's pawn on d4 attacks which two squares? c5 and e5.
Three. White moves. Knight to c3. Black moves. Knight to f6. Four. White moves. Knight to f3. Black moves. Bishop to e7.
What color is the g5 square? It's a dark square.
Five. White moves. Bishop to g5. Black moves. B, knight to d7. Six. White moves. Pawn to e3. Black moves. Castles kingside.
Black's knight on f6 is attacking which two center squares? d5 and e4.
Seven. White moves. Rook to c1. Black moves. Pawn to c6. Eight. White moves. Bishop to d3. Black moves. Pawn takes c4.
Which piece is on the c3 square? White's knight.
Nine. White moves. Bishop takes c4. Black moves. Knight to d5. 10. White moves. Bishop takes e7. Black moves. Queen takes e7.
Which square is Black's bishop on? C8.
Eleven. White moves. Knight to e4. Black moves. Knight, fifth rank, to f6. Twelve. White moves. Knight to g3. Black moves. Pawn to e5.
Which pieces are defending White's pawn on d4? The pawn on e3, the knight on f3, and the queen on d1.
13. White moves. Castles kingside. Black moves. Pawn takes d4. 14. White moves. Knight to f5. Black moves. Queen to d8.
Which pieces are on the A file? The black rook on a8 and pawn on a7, and the white pawn on a2.
15. White moves. Knight, third rank. Takes d4. Black moves. Knight to e5. 16. White moves. Bishop to b3. Black moves. Bishop takes f5.
Can the white knight on d4 capture the bishop on f5 without being recaptured? Yes, it can.
Seventeen. White moves. Knight takes f5. Black moves. Queen to b6. A8. White moves. Queen to d6. Black moves. Knight to d7.
Which two pieces are on the b1? H7 diagonal. The knight on F5 and the pawn on H7.
Nineteen. White moves. Rook to D1. Black moves. Rook to d8. Twenty. White moves. Queen to g3. Black moves. Pawn to g6.
White's bishop on b3 is attacking which of black's pawns? The pawn on f7.
Twenty-one. White moves. Queen to g5. Black moves. King to h8. Twenty-two. White moves. Knight to d6. Black moves. King to g7.
What square is black's queen on? b6.
Twenty-three. White moves. Pawn to e4. Black moves. Knight to g8. Twenty-four. White moves. Rook to d3. Black moves. Pawn to f6.
Which piece is pinning the black pawn on g6 to the king? White's queen on g5.
25. White moves. Knight to f5, check. Black moves. King to h8. White moves. Queen takes g6. Black resigns.